start off tonight with a little chorus here. We are together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Change in me. You know, it's just like us, isn't it? Praise God that there's been a great change in us as well, and brought us out of bondage into liberty. Thank God for that. Let's bow our heads this afternoon as we ask God's blessing on our service. Our Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks, Lord, that we can say of the truth, there is a great change in me. Lord, we were once creatures of darkness, but you have made us creatures of light. Lord, we once had a death sentence on us, but now we've got a life sentence upon us. Thank you, Lord God, that we were debtors, but now we're free. Lord Jesus, indeed, there is a great change in me. And we thank you, Lord, that the change was wrought because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that your word says that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And behold, old things have passed away, and all things become new. And we want to bless your name, Lord, for that this evening. Lord, we underestimate it. Maybe we don't fully grasp it, Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to be made anew again. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which transforms lives and rescues people from sin. Thank you, Lord, this evening for rescuing me. Thank you, Lord God, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can gather in this place and have all things in common to say that Jesus Christ saved my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of sins forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for all the benefits of God and all the promises of God are yea and amen. I pray, Lord, this evening, Lord, that you'll visit afresh with us, Lord, as we're gathered here in your name. Lord, your word says that where two or three are gathered together, that you would be in our midst. And I just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll know your presence as we're gathered here. And help us to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord God, to seek you with all our hearts. And Lord, to show our appreciation to you, to give you thanks for indeed you've done great things for us. We're all for God. Lord, if we would begin to number the things that we have to be thankful for, we could be here all night. But Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to really show our appreciation to you. Help us, Lord God, not to be ashamed of you, but Lord, help us to pour out our hearts unto you and receive of our thanksgiving and receive of our praise in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we want to thank you afresh for Calvary this evening. Thank you, Lord, for you died on that cross for me. And Lord, may everyone be personal to them here that they can say it was for me he died. As the hymn writer said, on the cross crucified, for me he died. He was nailed to the cross for me. And Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that even more than that, but you poured out the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord God, that each of us in this room will know the quickening power of the resurrected Jesus by the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll know that anointing that destroys the yokes. And I pray, Lord, indeed, every yoke will be destroyed. And Lord, every bond be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord God, to have liberty. Lord, when we praise and worship you, Lord, and help us to triumph over the foe. And Lord, to rise above all the fiery darts of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to rely upon you. And Lord, to quote your word, Lord, to meditate upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. I pray, Lord God, for any that's ill or sick or afflicted tonight, Lord, belonging to us. I pray, Lord, you'll touch in their body, any that's needing a touch from you. Lord, any that's needing a touch in their mind, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, you'll touch it. And Lord, for those that's needing uplifted in their soul and in their spirit, I pray, Lord God, that you'll do that, for only you are able to do it. And Lord, bring comfort to those that are grieving. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, bless the speaker as he comes and opens your word this evening. Bless our pastor as he comes and shares from your word. Bless the time of prayer afterward, Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray, Lord, that everything that will be said and done will bring glory and honour to your lovely and precious and holy name. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if this word from you withhold of a silver and a gold, then you have to get along with meagre fare.
If this world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get on with meager fare, just remember.
Thou passest me by. One more time.
Of this wonderful song, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord, we pray that you'll not pass us tonight, that you'll be with us, that you'll be one of your number. We invite the Holy Spirit into this room, into our lives afresh, Lord, into every heart and life, every home, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask that you'll wash us and cleanse us, Lord, from this day, from this week. Cleanse us with your word and with your precious blood. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And Savior, we pray, meet every need. You know the hands raised, meet every need. We pray as well, Lord, for the McCauley family, for your strength, for your comfort, for your grace at this time, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, we pray you'll bless the service tonight. Bless all that's here and bless those that couldn't be here. Bless all the nurses, the doctors. Lord, for those in authority, bless, give wisdom, we pray, and bless Israel. And hedge them in on every side with your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. And Father, for our brother Andrew, as he prepares to come this weekend, we pray you'll bless him, that you'll touch him, that you'll anoint him, that you'll prepare him. And prepare us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Now, Father, bless your word to our hearts tonight. Bless each one. And save all of our loved ones in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's read a verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Two verses just before we're seated. And the Lord bless each one. Don't forget, this Sunday we have a special guest speaker from England, Brother Andrew Beecham. And he's a tremendous preacher. We're looking forward to Andrew coming, so if you can try and get someone to come, I know it's hard to do it, but then Sunday evening we're going to have a cup of tea after the service to give people a bit of a chance to say hello to Andrew and everything and pray for the services that the Lord will have his way. Praise God. Let's read verse 8 and verse 9 of Acts, and I'm still in chapter 1. I haven't managed to get out of chapter 1 yet, but praise God. You wouldn't know how long we've been in chapter 1, but anyhow. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You may be seated. Now tonight I want to talk about briefly the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at a few scriptures, but they're saying the same thing as the book of Acts. And you say, why is it you keep using other scriptures? Because the jigsaw all fits. And that's important, that in one of these gospels, maybe something's left out, but it's not in the next one. But I just want you to get the picture of this, these sayings here. And these are scriptures concerning his ascension. He was taken up. And Luke here, it tells us he was carried up, Luke 24, 50 to 53, and he was led. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So he was taken up, he was carried up, verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. Then, if we were to look at Mark, it says he was received up. But it's all gone up. Mark 16, verse 15 to 19. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So he went up. His translation, his earthly ministry, as it were, had finished. He was no longer going to be here in a physical body as a man. But the promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And even though he left and he went to heaven, he went to the right hand of the Father, the heavenly ministry began. And I want to tell you this evening, not only is the Holy Spirit here, but there is a continual ministry in heaven going on all the time. Because the Bible says we have a high priest, and he's in heaven, who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. It's heavenly ministry begins. The Lord Jesus Christ has went back to the Father, and he said, I come from God, John 16, verse 28. I come forth from the Father, and I am coming to the world again. I'm coming to the world again, and I leave the world and go to the Father. He came from God, and he goes back to God. He comes from the Father, he goes back to the Father. But there's a ministry continues. Now his ministry continues, it's intercession. He's our high priest, but the Holy Spirit sent. So that the ministry that Jesus began on earth will continue. And in order for continue, it has to continue through the church. And the church is the mystical body of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a building or a name or anything like that. There's so many of them's lodges. There's lots of lodges with names. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the mystical body of Jesus Christ. That you are born into by one Spirit, baptized into that mystical body. And the Holy Spirit continues the work that Jesus began in the body. And there's a fivefold ministry. And that fivefold ministry is for the perfection of the saints. And there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the fruits of the Spirit. And all those things are to be continued. But I don't want to jump the gun. I want to bring a couple of thoughts out this evening. 2 Corinthians. Now, you know this is the last glimpse of Christ after the flesh. Until he comes a second time. He's told his disciples he was going. They were surprised when he went. But he also said he would come again. Now you know in John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know on the way, you know. And they said, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I'm the way. The only way. But here in 2 Corinthians 5, 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. So they knew him after the flesh, but they're known him no more after the flesh, because the physical body has went to heaven. And the Holy Spirit's been sent. This is God's plan, God's purpose, God's will. This is the promise of the Father. Now the gospel showed the disciples walking by the sight of a man on earth. They walked by sight because they could see him. And they wanted to see him. And they continually walked by seeing him. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now we might not physically see Jesus tonight, in this room, but we believe the Holy Spirit's here. We don't see it with this physical sight, but we believe it, that the Holy Spirit's here. We're not walking by sight, we're walking by faith. See, the Acts revealed the disciples walking by faith of the man, and they walked with him on their faith, they could see him. But the day was coming when they wouldn't see him. He would go back to heaven, they would no more see him after the flesh. And they're going to have to walk by faith, no longer by sight. But I tell you, they walk by faith. Amen. The ascension is the closing action of 40 days. Now this is interesting, and you should mark this, because William Branham is the only preacher I've ever heard say about these 40 days, but they're in the Bible. And that's why he says it, they're in the Bible. After Jesus rose from the dead, he is 40 days showing himself to them. He is 40 days coming amongst them. Not only is he 40 days showing himself to them, not only is 40 days coming amongst them, but we know the Old Testament saints, which are in a special prepared place, Abraham's bosom, they're released out of it. They are brought out. They're resurrected. They're no longer kept in there. But once the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed, they're brought out. And they see them. Now, I've preached on that before, and I'm not going to go too much into it. But seen in them 40 days, I want to get this phrase, and you could take some of these scriptures down. Acts 1 verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days. Now listen to me this evening. Most people think the rapture will take place, will go in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. They misquote the scripture. It doesn't say it like that. But a prophet of God said, when the rapture takes place, your loved ones could come in on you. He said there could be a time of getting together before you go. It could be 40 days. Says in another place a month, which is similar. But that's why he's saying it, because that's the way it was with Jesus. And that's why he's saying it. Now, when we actually go, I know God will change us and all them things. But people misquote Thessalonians. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now we know we're going, and it says we'll be caught up. It says he was carried up, he was taken up, but he went up. And there's a scripture said he went up in the cloud. But he's 40 days before he goes. They have 40 days left with the Lord. Now I don't know. I don't think they could have knew that they have 40 days left. But he knew. He knew after he rose from the dead, there's only going to be 40 days, and he's going to the Father to be in heaven. And not only is he going to go, but this is a changing. This is a changing from old covenant to new covenant. This is all the laws fulfilled, everything. I'm going to show you a bit of it tonight. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. The events of this 40 days period fulfilled a number of typical and prophetic scriptures, prophecies, laws. They were fulfilled. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till the heaven and earth pass, it's one of my favorite, I've quoted a lot this verse, pass not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He fulfilled it. Amen. Christ come to fulfill all that was in the law and the prophets. Now you could go into the resurrection and mark it down, but I'm not going to go to the scriptures tonight for time's sake. But you could go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15 And you're going into the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But we're going to go a bit further, and we're going to see also these are the things he fulfilled, what I'm talking about, when he rose. The presentation of himself as the sheaf of the first fruits. Jesus Christ is the sheaf of the first fruit offering. Now let me go back. And we're in Leviticus now, brother. God's good, isn't he? Confirms everything. Leviticus 23, verse 9 to 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest, therefore then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of the harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf an he lamb without blemish in the first year, a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made with fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour, and a drink offering therefore shall be of wine, the 1/4 of an hin, and ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto the Lord. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwelling, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day ye have brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. And Jesus Christ has been offered, and he is the wave sheaf offering before God. And just as this offering is offered as a wave sheaf offering for God to bless the rest of the substance, that's what it's for, and then the lamb's given for the household, for the people, for God to see the blood. Jesus Christ was offered up to the before God. He appeased God. He pleased God. And his blood pleased God, and he's the wave sheaf offering. And he is the perfect spotless lamb as well. And we're going to go one better, those 7 Sabbaths. And we're in the 7th church age. And God's 7th messengers come, and the voices went forth. And every single scripture here is fulfilling and fitting. What a time we're living in, brothers and sisters. I tell you, we're living at the very time when the Lord's coming. Now, I don't mean in his presence, or I mean we're going to meet him in the earth. We're not meeting him here. We are going to meet Jesus in the earth. We're getting out of here. And we're going to be taken up. Just as he was taken up, we're going to be taken up. And see how he fulfills these scriptures. Then here's another one. He fulfills the presentation of the blood and the body of Jesus at the throne of the Father. Hebrews 9, verse 12 to 15. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. No church or no preacher obtained. You need to mark this down tonight. There's no other man on this earth outside of Jesus Christ obtained anything for you or me. Jesus Christ obtained our redemption because God accepted that sacrifice. Amen? He obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal redemption he obtained for us. When somebody obtains something, they've got it. They have it. They're not looking for it to have it. And we have a grip of redemption tonight. We actually have it. We are redeemed. We're the children of the Lord tonight. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what we're redeemed by tonight. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean to the sanctifying of the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This is the difference in your Old Testament and your New Testament right here. The Old Testament sacrifice of a lamb or any sacrifice, whatever one you want to pick, it covered your sin for 1 year. Then it had to be redone. There was no life of the animal that could come back on you. No life. The blood contained that dried up was finished. But when the blood of Jesus was shed, there was a life in that blood. That's the Holy Spirit. And that life comes back on the believer. And here's what it does. It clears the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And it was only done once and for all. And it never needs to be done again. How much more, through the eternal Spirit, God will purge your conscience from dead works. Sir. Verse 15. And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament. We're no longer in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. That by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They could not be made complete until Calvary came. They couldn't even come out of where they were until Jesus' blood was shed. Do you realize that? He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. This veil's not Moses' tabernacle. This is a greater veil. And it enters within it. Whither the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And I tell you, when you consider Melchizedek, he's no father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. That's Melchizedek. And all the scholars know all the books, and you can read the whole lot of them, and they've all their theories, the whole lot. But we know what a prophet of God said about it. He said that was God in that form. And he took himself a bit of clay and made himself a body, stepped into it. And he came and he meets with Abraham. And he's a whole conversation with them. And Abraham gets the bullock sacrifice to whatever was the sacrifice made from. And the two messengers with him go on down to Sodom. They're two angels. And Abraham calls him my Lord. Amen. Now you know that's that same God that came in Jesus Christ, because God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You could also read in Leviticus 16, and I love the book of Leviticus. It's one of my favorite Old Testament books, because you can preach the gospel from it in so many places. I don't know many sermons I've preached from it before. I don't know if it's on the website or not. Maybe it is, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to get into it again. This Bible's just a storehouse, isn't it? I'll tell you what, there's an orchard here, and you have no trouble at all getting a few apples down out of the branches if you just put your hand out. Amen. Entrance within the veil, John 20, verse 11 and 18. Let me read you this. But Mary stood without the sepulchre waiting, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saith two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other one at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. And say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have led him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now you're not going to tell me that she didn't know Jesus. But he must look different than when he looked before, or else God's withheld him from her, which can happen. And you know that God withheld from them that walked with him on the road to Emmaus. He withheld from them, and they didn't even know him, yet they walked with him a few months earlier. But after the resurrection, he withheld from them, and they said, you're a stranger in these parts, and they start to tell him, have you not heard about this man was crucified? Then Jesus from the Old Testament preaches it unto them from the Old Testament. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's like the one in the Bible, and he joins himself to that eunuch on the chariot, and the eunuch's reading from the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, and he says, you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I? Except somebody tells me, and he preaches unto him Christ from the Old Testament. That's why we need the Old Testament, to preach Jesus. Amen. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is the same master. When she heard the voice, now she didn't recognize it was him, but when he spoke, she knew the voice. My sheep will know my voice, and another voice that won't follow. Amen? Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. So the Lord Jesus was going to descend to the Father. And he said, don't touch me till I descend, ascend to the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Here's another thing, the new birth of the disciples. John 20, 22 to 23. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. This is even before Calvary. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, thus the Church of Rome gets from. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now you know that we know, because of what we've been taught, that Acts 2:38 is the prescription. Repent ye therefore. That's how sins are removed. And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. That's God's prescription today. Amen. But you see how these disciples received the Holy Spirit? And then in John 3, verse 1 to 8, this man called Nicodemus, Jesus Christ. People say, oh, don't start with that born again stuff. I don't want to hear about that born again. Are you one of them born again fanatics? Well, I want to tell you that the born again doctrine started here in John chapter 3, and Jesus is the one preached it. And Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Nicodemus saith unto him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb be born? Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit had to come for us to have the birth. You see, this is a step up further. The blood of Jesus, there's a life with it. And it comes on the believer. Verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that it said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, now hearest the sound thereof, but cannest tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. Amen. Now you could go right back to Genesis 2 and verse 7. You say, brother, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Adam, when God breathed in him. And I tell you, Adam was a man made, but he wasn't actually living till God breathed in him. And except a man is born again of the Holy Spirit, he's dead in his sins and he's dead in his trespasses. There has to be the breath of God that breathes in us. And we meet born again of the Spirit of God. And I tell you, Adam was a man there, but still wasn't living, but God breathed in him. And he came alive. Hallelujah. And I tell you, Nicodemus had this experience with the Lord. That was some experience, wasn't it? This man was a teacher of the Jews. He was a rabbi. This was a good man. And he came to Jesus by night. Amen. The first fruits of the new birth come unto the church. As Adam received the breath of life, so did the disciples here in John's gospel. They became quickened spirits. They were quickened. But hold it just for one moment. They still had to have Pentecost. Even though they had this experience where they breathed on them, they still needed the upper room. And even though today people could say, well, I'm saved, brother, that's brilliant. I believe it, but we still need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith in the coming of the Messiah. The new birth, the birth in the New Testament made possible through the Messiah's death and resurrection. The veil which ran at Calvary. Thus there remain no law, no priesthood, no temple, no covenant. All was fulfilled and abolished by the perfect once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why we are not saved by any works tonight. We're saved by grace. Amen. Some people think, you know, can you lose your salvation? How would you lose it? Would you lose it if you backslid or did something wrong? Would that make you lose it? Well, if that's the case, that's works. You never get saved by what you've done. You get saved by what he done. All you did was believe it. It was God that brought you. It was God that saved you. No man seeks God. God seeks man. Amen? When Adam and Eve did what they did, they disobeyed God. They tried to figure out religion. The Lord come looking for them himself. He came seeking them in the cool of the evening. Now you know before they fall, in the cool of the evening, before the fall, God would come and communicate with his children. God loves his children. And I believe in the 20th century, at evening time, that God has spoke to us. Because the Bible says in Zechariah, there shall be light at the evening time. Brothers and sisters, we're at the evening time. We're at the time of the cool of the evening when God has spoken. And the Lord is preparing us for the catching away. And he's ready to come. Only his blood is acceptable to God under the new covenant. Though the disciples were born of the Spirit, yet Jesus commanded them to wait and be baptized in the Spirit. Amen? You get the Holy Ghost when you get saved. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit moves on you. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit coming on you. You say, where's the scripture? No man come unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know him save to him who the Son will reveal him. But yet there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those disciples, you know, Jesus even said to Peter, when you're converted, when you are converted. And I tell you, Peter, some conversion. Peter cursed and denied the Lord in all sorts. But I'll tell you what, the Lord had prayed for him. He says, I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, you will strengthen your brother. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit. 40 days before he went. Brothers and sisters, look, you might say, I don't believe there's going to be 40 days. We're not going to fall out on it. If somebody doesn't believe there's 40 days, there's no problem. It could be a day. That's fine. But I'll put it to you this way here. Let's just say we knew tonight with 40 days left. Now, I'm not saying there's 40 days left. Don't misquote what I'm saying. I'm just saying if we knew, we won't know. But if we knew with 40 days left, what way would we act? What way would we act? I tell you, the Lord's coming. He is coming again. And he is coming for a people that he's chosen. And I do not believe anybody can miss the rapture that's predestined to be in it. God's going to have them in it. God makes no mistakes. Just like Jesus says, all the Father has given me will come to me. We need to be praying for our loved ones that God gets a hold of them. Amen. And praying for ourselves, for each other, that God will help every one of us to be a witness. We're living in a world, you know, when you're out there each day, it's not easy to hear some of the things and everything, and then you're to try and keep your spirit right and everything right. It's difficult. We need the Holy Spirit. But he's available. Let's come and let's seek the Lord tonight. Please remember to pray for Brother Andrew as he comes this weekend. Praise God. And just pray God will really have his way. God bless you all tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Lord Jesus, so many wonderful things you did. And Lord, we can see how it all ties through your word. There is a line, a red line from Genesis to Revelations, and it points to you. Help us to point to you. Be in our midst, we pray. Be in our midst of the service, in our lives, in our home. Help us to have your spirit, not a man's spirit or some great person's spirit, but we want the genuine Holy Spirit, the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost that will make us love you more, serve you more. Not by force, but by free will. We love you tonight because you first loved us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for people in this very room. You know the needs of people tonight. Financial and spiritual. I'm asking you to meet every single need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your way in our midst. Prepare us. Help us to be a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit. Help us to be temples of the Holy Ghost. Cleanse us. Sanctify us, Lord. Wash us afresh with the washing of the water of the word. Lord, we know we're living in the last days, in the Laodicean age, the last age. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to be a light that's not hid somewhere, but that can be seen. Lord, that some wayfaring person might see the light and come to safety. Lord Jesus, tonight bless every brother, every sister in this room, every boy, every girl. Lord, I'm asking you for all the children represented with this house that's here and not here, and husbands and wives, every single loved one that's near and dear to us. We love them so dearly, Lord Jesus. We want you to move on them. We want you to save them. We want them to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. We're pleading the merits of your blood over them tonight. We're asking for the life, for the blood, the Holy Ghost to go upon them and convict them and move them of sin and unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the backslider. Lord, you're forever married to the backslider. You love the backslider. Father, speak to them tonight and draw them and woo them back to your own self, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord Jesus, stir our hearts. Bless our brother Andrew as he prepares to come. Give him strength, give him grace. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, touch him. Lord Jesus, just have your way, we pray. And bless each one in this house tonight. Father, for all the nurses, the doctors, those in authority, pray for wisdom, for guidance. Lord Jesus, we commit it all to you and pray again for Israel, your blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And Father, for anyone tonight that needs your touch, touch people in this room. Come amongst us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, loose the gifts of God amongst us tonight and the power of God. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Have your way in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.